Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 10th of December. We thought we would do our open line for December today. It's a chance for you to suggest topics, things you believe that we have neglected over the course of the last month or so, great authors you've read and you want to share your thoughts about the author, or whatever you'd like. Our phone number, and you do help us program the show. Some of these suggestions are extraordinarily valuable, and we hop right on them when we get off the air. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And in case you can't get through today, you can send an email, too. We'll save those emails. That is talk@wpr.org. Or always, you can send Rhonda and me emails anytime a thought comes into your head. You know how that is. Your thoughts come into your head. I guess it happens all day long, right? But if you want to jot them down and then send us an email, that's great. So her address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunn-K at WPR.org. And that's that. So let's go to phone calls. Our lines are filled. Always a good sign. Hope the suggestions are good today. We start with Frank from Madison. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
How are you doing in a storm?
Well, we didn't get it. We're the only place in the whole state.
Oh,
we got
it's the virtuous lives that people in Milwaukee lead.
I guess you're right.
I have two suggestions.
Okay.
One is quite specific, which is you are probably aware of the continuing existence of skeptics.
Oh, really? Skeptics, are there skeptics, Frank? Yes, I am aware.
There's a reason for that. The science of global warming is 150 years old. It explains why we live in a habitable planet. The science that says that we are ourselves, by generating more CO2, are warming the planet above an acceptable level, is more recent, and it's extremely good. Yet you have the illusion that somehow there's a problem. And all the science, all the legitimate objections to the idea that we might be warming the planet have been addressed over the last 20 years, and they don't pan out. You know, it isn't where we are in the solar cycle. It doesn't have to do with Milankovitch. The people whose job it is to do these things know that those aren't the explanations. And yet, there's a well-funded campaign to raise doubt. And I would like your program or another responsible program to address who the denialists are. Now, if that's too partisan, I think you should look into the funding of strange anti-ideas. It generally comes from well-funded institutions that provide spurious talking points. So either address who the denialists are, or as an alternative, have a dialogue program where some nice person, such as Kathleen Dunn, asks all the critical questions that would raise some doubt about human-caused global warming, and have a competent scientist answer you in English. So Gavin Schmidt would be a good one.
All right.
Now, the second thing would be is if anyone's wondering why the president seems so ineffective, there's a book which has been reissued in paperback by Robert Frank called The Wrecking Crew. And this is the construction of a world where government does not work. It's also not an accident. And he would make a very good guest because Mr. Obama, although he's president, is not actually in control. The people who constructed the current system are still in power. So I hope the weather continues well in Milwaukee, and have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks so much for the call. Hope you dig out, okay, all of you in almost every part of the state except where we are. Those are good suggestions, as always, from Frank. We go next to Kathleen from Middleton. Lovely name, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and I may be making suggestions that you have covered because I'm not able to listen all the time. I'm home sick, but not too sick to talk a little bit today.
Okay.
But I'm concerned about meeting the needs of young children and the tendency of preschools and especially kindergartens to push academic type learning at the cost of developmentally appropriate creative learning through play.
Mm-hmm.
And one group that's done some publishing about that is the Alliance for Childhood, and their website is just www.allianceforchildhood.org. And they have put out a book called The Crisis in Kindergarten, looking at children not getting what they need. And then a related but not quite the same is looking at the reasons that so many very young children are in daycare for 40 and more hours a week, and some of the needs that are being met well that way and some of the needs that are not being met well that way. And anyway, there's a lot there.
Good, and Kathleen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just concerned that a lot of children are being given what they don't need and not given what they do need.
Right. Great. Good suggestions. We haven't been on that area of discussion for a long time, so I appreciate your ideas.
Okay.
Okay, Kathleen, feel better.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Milton is next from Madison. Hi, Milton.
Hi. We've managed to survive the death snow of the apocalypse here in Madison. And
I'm glad you survived.
Four quick suggestions. Just last hour, we were talking about charity and how there's annually $229 billion worth of charity, and it seems like we're not getting $229 billion worth of results. What's the problem? And I think you have a great opportunity to look at half of the cap and trade issue that no one's looking at, and that's the trade part. We are going to create 5 billion shares in a new stock market, which we as people will be paying for rich people to play in, rich people and then big, you know, utilities and big companies to play in the stock market. We're not looking at this investment thing at all and how it's going to be created out of our pockets. Third thing would be weapons development. There's all kinds of, you know, the $1 trillion worth of weapons development in only the past few years, but we're not looking at it at all. And once you develop these technologies, you can't put them back in the bottle. A good example is gene splicing. Now, for the price of a good used car and a couple of years of education, you can be a mad scientist and make germs to destroy the world. And finally, I'd like to see at least 1 hour devoted to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board of Director elections. These are the people who handle our listener money, and we've never received a single hour of discussion on the issues about our listener money. So could we have just 1 hour, please? Keep warm in the death cold of the apocalypse, please, and have a great day.
Thank you, Milton. We go to Robert next from Stevens Point. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, the guest I'm going to suggest has been someone who's been on the show before. I believe I was on last year with John Munson, but the guest would be Eric Sanderson from the Associate Director of the Wildlife Conservation Society, and he's just released a new book called Manhattan, A Natural History of New York. And it's about, he's managed to used historical documents and digital technology to recreate what the ecology of Manhattan as it existed 400 years ago.
Okay.
Well,
Well, that sounds good.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know you weren't. I know you weren't on the show when that guest was on last time. That was last year. But
yes.
But I was wondering if you heard anything interesting about him, or.
No, I have not. I must have been on vacation when that happened.
Okay. Yeah, I just picked up the book, and it. I just picked up the book, and it's filled with. It's just. And it looks like a real keeper. I mean, look.
Okay.
I'm not
I like
sure
that
what
description.
Else to say.
All right. You've said it. Thank you very much. We'll look it up.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Robert.
Bye.
Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
For the snow and weather like this, if they're about as scarce as hen teeth anymore, but get a hold of a small car with a 5-speed standard, you get around much better on ice and snow with a standard transmission than you do with an automatic.
Yeah, I used to drive them all the time, and then
you can't beat them. You can also gear yourself even in not nice weather when you're in traffic. The small cars, the real small cars, they still put standard transmissions in them. But as far as an idea for a show, they're going to be putting some more money into some more stimulus money into rehab of housing. So what little I have seen of, and I haven't gotten involved in it. That they have arbitrary things they have to do that may not fit the individual homeowner. For instance, you've got a certain tip. They're coming in with a package, certain things they have to do, and they got to follow certain regulations. And I'm wondering if you could get a guest to speak to that, because a lot of times what they're doing doesn't always fit the individual homeowner.
Okay. All right, Eugene.
Okay, thanks much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks, Eugene. Brad is next from Plover. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Kathleen. Leaving health care in the hands of the for-profit HMOs will result in consumer-driven plans with $5,000 and $6,000 deductibles, higher premiums, and rationing of benefits. And these consumer-driven plans are what finally drove Wendell Potter to leave Cigna. And two great guests that would talk about how a single-payer health plan would alleviate the road that we're going down would be Dr. Marcia Angel. She's senior lecturer at the Department of Social Medicine at Harvard and former New England Journal of Medicine editor-in-chief.
One second. She's the Department of what?
She's a doc. She's a medical doctor,
uh-huh.
And she's a senior lecturer at the Department of Social Medicine
okay.
at Harvard, and she used to be the editor-in-chief in New England Journal of Medicine.
Okay.
And then the other great single-payer advocate is Steffi Wohlhander, and she's a doctor, and she's the professor of medicine at Harvard and past president of Physicians for a National Health Program.
Okay.
And they're both excellent.
Okay. Physicians for a National Health Program. All right.
And I guess that's it.
That sounds good. What do you think about... Well, we don't know a whole lot yet about what the Senate has done, but it's leaking out a little bit. Are you happy about it or not?
It's intriguing because as a single-payer advocate, I think that enabling more people to take part in Medicare is good because I think eventually they could lower the age from 55 down to 45 and 35 to eventually include everybody. And then... with a Medicare for All, what's great about it is you're not in a network like an HMO. You could see any doctor in the country. And that's huge for a lot of people with difficult illnesses that they're fighting to be able to go beyond the local clinic or the local hospital. So I think opening Medicare is great. The only bummer is that we're not without a really strong public option. That will leave health insurance in the hands of the for-profit companies, and they won't have to compete with a public plan, so they can pretty much set their pricing and their deductibles. And what we're going to see is fewer benefits and higher premiums. So that makes me a little sad, is that we won't have a public option to kind of keep the insurance companies in check. But it is intriguing, but...
It is intriguing, isn't it? All of a sudden, something's on the table that really wasn't on the table before, which is kind of interesting. We'll be on this next week, too, so I appreciate your suggestions, and perhaps we can track one of those people down to not only talk about single payer, but to look at what's happening.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Derek from Round Lake, hello.
Yes, hello. Good program. I'd like to hear a program, or if it's possible, about quality of American media versus what's really going on abroad, specifically in Europe or Asian media outlets. I'm talking about BBC World, maybe Financial Times. You could get a Christopher Freeland, who's a general manager, as well as somebody from El País or Repubblica from Italy. And basically get several different points across, such as, for example, why many stories which are actually are covering U.S. internal politics as well as corporate media are not being covered in the United States themselves, and they're widely covered outside of U.S. So it seems to me that a lot of readers, such as myself, can actually get a much more comprehensive view of what's going on in this country for the foreign outlets than here, mm-hmm. and why the difficult questions are not being asked.
All right, Derek.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for your call. Wayne from De Pere. We have lines open, by the way. Our number is 800-486-8655. Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I got to turn my radio off. I just called to give you a kudos because I read that book by Robert Kessler about the Secret Service.
Oh, you liked it?
Oh, it was frightening. And what bothers me is with this thing with these people in the White House, you know, barging in there.
Right.
Nobody brings up the fact that they are underfunded and they don't have the weapons they need. I don't understand that. Why don't you bring it out in the open so we can all understand, people can see what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I still don't understand why we have all this garbage floating around the Pacific. And with that thought, you know, I called you about that a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand how people, we don't know more about that.
Okay.
All right, kid, that's all.
Okay, Wayne. Thanks so much.
One.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for the call. 800-486-8655 is our number. It's an open line for the month of December. We'll be with more of your calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program this Thursday, we will continue our series on healthcare in different countries. We're looking at a country where the quality of healthcare is terrible, and where so many people have no access to any kind of medical care. Dr. Matthew Solberg will be joining us. He recently went as a doctor to provide care to people in Haiti. He's a pediatrician here in the Milwaukee area. So healthcare in Haiti, second hour of our show. This is an open line. 800-486-8655 is the number. June from Shawano. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, June.
I would like to make a suggestion that you have a program sometime on the disabled. And the person I think you could talk to would either speak or find someone for you would be Lee Schultz at Independence First in Milwaukee. And he could tell you about what they do and what the programs for the disabled and also about the independent living centers throughout the state.
Okay.
And particularly the legislation that has affected the disabled.
Okay. Great, June.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks, June. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Kurt from Springbrook. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Kathleen. I'd like to hear you do a show on animism. And I don't know, maybe have Daniel Quinn on or David Abram talking about it. Because I'd like to know what humans were doing as far as religion for the first 250,000 years of our existence. I mean, we really only hear about animism through like anthropologists and stuff, but I think there's more to learn about it.
Okay.
And are you familiar with animism or?
Not very much, no.
The way I understand it, it's not a religion, it's a worldview. And anthropologists, when they come across indigenous people in tribes, they call them animus. I mean, they don't have any specific god, I guess, that they worship like we do, like the monotheists do, but I think it'd be an interesting program.
Okay, and who is the second author you recommended, David Abram, A-B-R-A-M?
Yeah, he writes for Orion.
Okay.
Once in a while, and he wrote a book called The Spell of the Sensuous. It was published a few years back,
mm-hmm.
and he talks about animism in there.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
You bet.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
We go to Gail from New London. Hi, Gail.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a book that I think would be interesting, Unquenchable. It talks about the water crisis here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
and it's written by Robert Glennon. And it's kind of like global warming. People don't think it's a problem yet, but it is.
I know we've done several shows on water crisis. I can't remember if Robert was a guest on a previous show or not. The title sounds so familiar to me.
Well, that could well be that you've had him on already. I was thinking about that when I called up.
No, I don't remember. I remember conversations about this issue, and it may be time for another conversation about this issue.
Yeah, it'd be good, I think.
I think so, too.
Well, thanks for letting me on.
Sure, Gail. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Mike from South Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Mike.
Have you ever had Matt Taibbi on?
Yes.
Okay. And I called earlier in the week about the new article that he has in the Rolling Stone
mm-hmm.
Magazine about the Obama's financial advisors, the people who are really in power in the White House, the same people that were primarily responsible for our crisis with failure to regulate derivatives, killing the Glass-Steagall Act, etc. It's a superb article. It's in the December 10th Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes, and I haven't read it yet. I will over the next few days. My husband gave me that, too, and said, you have to read this. Matt was on maybe about a month ago or a month and a half. He's hard to book, but we can certainly try again. He's a very good guest. I'd like to have his dad on sometime, too, because I think he does wonderful reporting for NBC. Some of it is kind of quirky, but he really finds things that are good and we ought to know about, and we didn't know they existed. So he'd be fun as well.
This article is mind-boggling, and I encourage you to have him on to talk about it.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Let's go next to Martha from Dubuque. Hello, Martha.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, I have two areas that I think are of interest, especially for your women listeners. Two things. Bioidentical hormones for women who are experiencing menopause and symptoms of menopause, like being in perimenopause. And bioidentical hormones are not, they are not widely accepted in the traditional medical world. And I got wind of this, I don't know how many years ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, Suzanne Summers. She is like the leading cheerleader for bioidentical hormones. And I'm currently on bioidentical hormones, and I finally got my two sisters, older sisters, to look into it, and they are finally being treated with bioidentical hormones, and they are their lives are so much better, their quality of life. So that's a hot issue. I think that's going to be coming into the mainstream, and I think if more women know about it, I think it might become more widely accepted. Of course, it's not FDA approved, but it's also something that the pharmaceutical companies, they're not going to be able to make money because it's all done the old-fashioned way by pharmacies who mix it up at their pharmacies. So it's really interesting, and I would just like to empower more women to know that they have that option.
All right, Martha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Bye. Brent from Eau Claire. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to respond with a recommendation for two guests that would speak to the previous gentleman's comment that the $229 billion are invested and we're not getting the response rate from that nonprofit sector area. Mary Reardon, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Nonprofits Association, is the first person I'd recommend. And the second is a gentleman named Eugene Temple, who is the director of the Center for Philanthropy at the University of Indiana.
Okay. Great, Brent.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much. Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Saeed from Green Bay. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I would like to suggest a book to you called A Cup of Sin. It's a collection, it's a first English translation of a collection of poems from an Iranian poet by the name of Simine Behbahani, who was a few years ago nominated for the Nobel in Literature. And this is her, the first English translation of her work. Though much has been lost in translation, it is still a wonderful read, and it is also very timely given the colossal confrontation of liberty and tyranny that's going on in Iran, where Behbahani's poems have become the anthem of resistance and what animates much of the demonstrators say in the streets. And her poems are turned into songs that people sing in prison as they as they fight for rights. And she provides a window into the soul of Iranians. The book is a wonderful read. So I would like to suggest that to you.
I didn't catch
English, the translator is would be someone that you could contact they would be able to speak
right.
English.
Right. I didn't get her name. Could you give it to me again, please?
I'm in my car. I don't have the book, but I don't remember my car. I don't have access to it, and I don't remember the name. But if you just Google A Cup of Sin, and the original poet's name is Behbahani, Behbahani.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go next to David from Ironwood. Hello, David.
I read two books. True Civilization and Equitable Commerce by Johannes Warren. He was involved in the Utopia movement back in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And he also was an inventor, and his relatives were involved in the Revolutionary War, played a role in the Bunker Hill and stuff. But very fascinating guy. Might have a hard time finding stuff on him, but now with the internet, you could probably do a Google and what call it. Would be neat if you could find someone.
What's the name again, please?
Johannes Warren. I don't know how to spell it, sorry.
Okay.
And the books are True Civilization and Equitable Commerce. I think they're out of print, but you could probably find something on the internet.
Okay, David.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Mike from Madison. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Probably on this one, you could bring a general practitioner doctor. I'm wondering, so many of my friends, I'm over 70, by the way, and some of the friends of mine, people I know, get operated on their cancer treatment as a cancer treatment and all that. Some of them don't even get operated. And they let them die. I don't know if I call them die with dignity or not, but they don't get operated. They get just chemotherapy and all that. But what are the decisions behind all these important health decisions that the doctors take? And I'm worried about it because why some people are treated differently from the others. I see a lot of women with breast cancers survive, and some of the prostate cancer people don't survive, and they let them, they don't treat them. They treat them, but they tell them that we cannot operate on it or stuff like that. What are the decisions that take place behind the scene on this? Maybe you should bring a doctor, and I would like to hear all that.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. I would assume because it's operation wouldn't do any good to lengthen life, but you don't want to have lots of questions about how the decisions are being made. Conversation with a doctor is good, but it would be interesting to do an end-of-life program, certainly, so we will consider that. Larry from Madison, hi.
Hello. I'd like to suggest that you get Dennis Overby as a guest. He has written on science in an interesting way, showing that science is very compatible with democracy and particularly maybe essential to democracy. And he talks about the values of science as honesty and respect for evidence, and openness, accountability, tolerance, things like that. And it makes a lot of sense to me, and I think he would be an interesting guest. I have another suggestion, if you can take it.
Of course.
I would suggest John Perkins as a guest. He wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which was on the bestseller list for a while. He has a new book out. And he writes as a whistleblower who worked for a United States corporation in a responsible position as an economist. And his job was to go into foreign countries which had natural resources that foreign interests would like to develop. And then once convincing those countries that they should have that development, soon those countries were on a path to borrowing in order to develop the resource and then being heavily in debt and not being able to pay. And this was all, according to him, the way his people planned it. So the country with the resources couldn't repay the original loan. And then they were subject to all kinds of pressures from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, forced to make some changes in their internal institutional arrangements, which were almost always anti-democratic. So it's a fascinating, fascinating account of what he did for several years. So I thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Those are good suggestions. 800-486-8655 is our number. It's an open line for the month of December. Jan is next. Hi, Jan.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I have two suggestions. One is a book that our book club just read. It's called The Culture of Narcissism. And the author, one of the authors, her name is Jean, and it's T-W-E-N-G-E. And it's actually, it's a fascinating book. It talks about the rise of the narcissistic kind of personality in this culture, from kids to, you know, whose parents hire paparazzi when they go out in the town so they can look like a star and then give them a magazine when they're done with their pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the girl who wanted a marching band for her 16th birthday. And also kids who beat up other children in their classes and then post it on YouTube so they can be famous. And people buying, you know, shirts for their babies that say superstar. It's really fascinating how this narcissistic stuff has permeated the culture, and I think it would be really fascinating to have her on.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and then the second thing is on thermography. This is a way that you can actually have a breast screening that uses heat instead of x-rays, and it's very widely used in Europe, and it's kind of the preference in many countries over mammograms. And for people who are concerned about, you know, the amount of radiation that you get by having repeated mammograms, this is an alternative that, that is available in this country. We don't hear much about it. And it actually can find, the, you know, the idea is it can actually find cancers at a much earlier age because it measures heat difference in the tissue. And when there's an infection or an inflammation, there will be heat around that area trying to deal with it. And the thermograms pick this up, can pick it up a couple of years before you might actually have, like, a lump.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be interesting to have that on. With all the talk about, you know, mammograms and, you know, the people that don't want to screen as often, or earlier, you know, people in their young age that don't want to start, that's
right,
is out there.
Okay, thank you,
so,
Jan, very
okay.
much.
All right, bye.
Rich from Delavan, hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay, you're going to hate me.
Why?
I'm leaving on a cruise tomorrow.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm taking the Nation magazine cruise through the Caribbean, and I didn't plan it like this, but since you're tropical in Milwaukee, you can be in charge of putting in the palm plantings along the lakeshore there. So, in any case, to the point.
Yes, sir.
To the point. Bill Moyers is retiring, and I would really like you to get him on the air to talk about the presidencies that he's lived through.
Oh, that'd be great. Great
it
idea.
Would.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
All right. We'll do it, Rich. You have a wonderful time.
Okay. You too. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Rich. Let's go next to Paul from Waukesha. Hi, Paul.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'd like to suggest Thomas Carpenter, who's a professor at UW-Madison and is involved in a program called CGI, Cognitively Guided Instruction, that's really known nationwide and probably worldwide as a way of providing math instruction to young children, mainly kindergarten through about second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be real interesting to hear some of the research he's found.
Well, that sounds interesting. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Jennifer from La Crosse. Hi, Jennifer.
Good morning. I'm calling about a book by the name of They Are Us. It's about immigration. The authors are Bauman and Raleigh, R-A-L-I-E.
Okay.
And one of the authors was a president of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.
Hmm.
And so as our country enters into a time where we're making decisions about immigration policy, I think it would be good to have their perspective.
Mm-hmm. Great, Jennifer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. More phone calls in a moment. It's our open line for the month of December. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number for you to call. And John Treader is answering phone calls. You can chat with John. He'll get you on the air momentarily. If you can't get through today, please send us emails because we always like to hear from you. Rhonda's email address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. When you get a great thought, please just jot it down and send us a note. And we love to hear your suggestions. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we continue our series on healthcare in other countries, and we look at healthcare in Haiti. And that will be after the news from National Public Radio. Back to phone calls, 800-486-8655. Paul from Duluth. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Kathleen and fellow animal lover. One thing I've noticed, Wisconsin Public Radio does a terrific job bringing on people to talk about animal welfare. But one thing I've never seen or heard is I think you should do a show on geriatric animals and their care. And if you could get Patricia McNeil from the old Calling All Pets show, and Sandy Sawchuk, I think her name is, from Larry Mueller, she's a veterinarian, bring the behavior and the medical science parts together on one show. My wonderful chow dog will be 16 in February, when they get older, there's a variety of challenges, and I'll bet a lot of other people that take good care of their pets would love to have both the behavioral and the medical discussed on one show.
That's a good idea. Patricia McDonald and Sandy Sawchuk, I like this.
Yeah,
I
think it would be very informative, and we could all have a good laugh together.
Oh, 16 years old. What a good long life, huh?
Oh, and she's just the pride and joy of my life.
Oh.
But, you know, you watch animals as they go through that stage of slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way to put it.
Right.
A little more on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. We go next to Marty from Milwaukee. Hello, Marty.
Oh, good morning. Wondering if you could have a show on the kick around ideas for, I'm going to say, renaming the global warming crisis. Get the fence sitters off the fence. Get the people that are concerned active. I think part of the heart of the matter is aptly naming the problem. Inconvenient truth, global warming, climate change are euphemisms compared to the nature of the problem. I'm suggesting something in the nature of life support destruction or life support collapse, because that's what we're going to have if this unfolds wrongly. People are going to look back at World War II and think it was trivial compared to what we're going to go through if we don't act effectively and timely. And I'm wondering if that would be a topic that you could cover, kick around ideas and methods to get people aware. And I mean, the information is out there, but I've heard people not least say, oh, good, well, I've orange trees in Wisconsin. You know, not unless you have checks and balances in nature that keep the predators or whatever else might go after the orange trees. If we lose bees, you may do what they have in China. They had recruited people to pollinate. Bees are 30% of our agriculture pollination work, and so are dependent on 30% of our commercial agriculture is dependent on bees. Little details like this that can take the whole system down are not given adequate exposure, I don't think, at least not in the naming of these issues.
Okay, Marty, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Is it Jiva from La Crosse?
Yep, that's right, Jiva.
Hi.
Good morning. I'd like to see a show about the impact that education foundations have on the public schools around the state. I'm the director of the Education Foundation in La Crosse, but these foundations are popping up all over the country, and they're really contributing a lot of money to the public schools. And a great person to interview would be Jim Colligan, who's the president of the National School Foundation Association in Des Moines, Iowa.
National School Foundation Association.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jiva.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Bob from Sparta. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Hello.
Say, I'd like to have you get Tony Evers on and defend his office of state superintendent of schools.
Okay.
We've got some great teachers out here in rural Wisconsin, but I think that Milwaukee is what I would call a pustule event in the area of education, and we have a whole lot of controversy about the mayor taking over the school system. And back in 06, there was a study that was published in USA Today that pointed out that graduation rate in the Milwaukee schools was 43%. And I cannot understand how it is that his office cannot come in there and straighten something out. I mean, when you got almost 6 out of 10 people getting out of the school and then going looking for a minimum wage job, and then the next year there's 6 out of 10 more coming to get those same jobs, it's just going to be a black hole as far as social programs. And worse than that, it's robbing people of their rightful rewards in getting along well in life. I mean, they're tremendously handicapped. How can they have any good feelings when the school system just, you know, kicks them out like that? And I'm sure that Milwaukee's not the only system in the state, but you're more familiar with it, and you could ask him questions, and I suppose that there are other large school systems in the state that have problems like Milwaukee, but they're not anywhere near as bad.
Right. That's a good suggestion. We should try to get Tony Evers on the show. Good idea.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he really ought to defend why we shouldn't just eliminate that job if he can't do anything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Peter is next from Stoughton. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Hello.
You talk a lot about your Facebook things. And, of course, I just passed the 50-friend mark yesterday, and I mentioned this to my daughter, and she kind of sneered at me.
I guess she has thousands, huh?
Yeah, apparently. But I think it would be nice to have a somebody who represents Facebook on your show to answer questions and to field comments. I'm enjoying it in some ways, but in other ways, I'm really kind of hacked off at some of the things they do.
So, really? What upsets you?
They're always changing how things get posted, for instance, without telling you when or why. There are a number of applications that they run that you see them and, oh, well, this is fun, but then you suddenly find out that, well, by participating in this, so is everybody else on my friends list, and I don't want to inflict that on them.
I see, right.
So just in general, general, somebody from that organization who can answer some questions.
I think that's a really good idea. I'm new to Facebook. I'm new within the last, 4 months or so, and maybe it's that initial delight with something. But I really have connected with people I haven't seen since college days, and that's been a treat. High school friends I haven't seen in a long time. And through our website on Wisconsin Public Radio now, with listeners, too, and I just find that wonderful. Not enough people are responding. You know, what did you think of this show? What did you think of this guest? And you want it to flourish, so we need to mention it. But I'm not addicted to it, but I like it.
It's a real time sucker, if you like.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It certainly can be, can't it?
Thank you for your show.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
Good day.
Bye. We do have a page, right? Is that the right word? We have a page, Facebook page now for this program, and it's rolling. It's starting to get rolling, and I like to hear what you think about programs and what you're thinking. Somebody wrote a thing yesterday saying, how many times a day do you think about money? And I had never thought about that. How many times do I think about money? So I added it up, and it wasn't an inordinate number of times, but that was an interesting question. So you can just post interesting questions, too, which is fun. All right, let's go to Ann from Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi, I had a couple of ideas. One is Dr. Jane Ann, that's two words, and Ann is spelled A-N-N-E, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S. She's an anthropologist. She lives in Madison. She's written several books. The most recent, published last year, is Gaveling Down the Rabble, How Free Trade is Stealing Our Democracy. And she's a real expert on the history and specific cases of how corporate control of legislatures at every level in our country and, you know, all over the world in extension have almost destroyed the democratic process. And she's a real whirlwind of information and storehouse of knowledge. So, and she's a very good person to interview.
Great.
And second, a guy named David Shiner, Dr. David Shiner. I don't know how to spell it, but he was Barack Obama's personal physician for many years. I believe he's in Chicago still. And he's been on Jesse Jackson's program, Keep Hope Alive, which airs in Madison every Sunday. And he thinks that a single-payer system is the only one that makes any sense at all, that all these other complicated systems are just going to take people's money, force them into the arms of the almost criminal insurance companies and do absolutely no good at all and create like a third tier of health care that people who have to sort of declare themselves paupers will be if they can't afford to pay for whatever insurance companies decide to charge us. And I had one other idea. I just thought of it while I was listening. And that is a guy named Mike Papantonio. He and Bobby Kennedy are law partners, Bobby Kennedy Jr. And I believe he's in Pensacola, Florida. He has a program with Bobby Kennedy called Ring of Fire. And I have their phone number. I don't have their website. But he has fought corporations all over the world. He and Bobby Kennedy, they specialize in environmental and pharmaceutical company cases, and they always take the people's side against huge corporations. And their number is 866-389-FIRE. I haven't, you know, Ring of Fire is the name of their program. Okay. But he is just absolutely fantastic, and they've had such success in winning cases.
I didn't get his last name, Ann.
Oh, it's weird. It's Papantonio, and I think it's spelled P-A-P-A-N-T-O-N-I-O.
Okay. All right, great suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Well, if you didn't get through, please send an email. Rhonda's email address is fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. We do have a Facebook. We should do a show on Facebook. That'd be fun. A Facebook page now as well. So it's the Kathleen Dunn Show. If you want to become a fan or see what we're writing, there's not a lot going on there. But, well, I shouldn't say that because sometimes there are good thoughts. It's great. You're a wonderful audience. So the more of you who sign up, the more thoughts we'll get, which is all good. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return here on the Ideas Network.